I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio. I thought I'd let the intro go in because those words I think are quite important for us to understand. We are the only radio station that literally covers every aspect of health and vitality. We have it on every medium, on iOS, on Android, as a podcast, on Alexa, whichever way you get your media, we are here to serve you. How are you doing? I think that particular sentence fits in with this week's theme of the show, because a lot of the times we get to a set age, we think we're not good enough, we think we've come out of relationships and we can't fall in love, we think that life is over. But this week we are really looking at menopause unpacked, and we really are going to look at why the body feels different and what we can actually do to help it. Now, Her Health and Happiness, girl, looks at every aspect of female intimate health and the whole person. And we do have that heart-to-heart. We have deeper conversations because we're not just looking at menopause. We're looking at understanding our bodies. Before we get into that, I want you to remember, like me, that you are blessed and divinely favored. You are a magnet for miracles. You are the solution to someone's problem, and you are the answer to that person or somebody else's prayer. Here we only get 50 minutes, right, to have a conversation, but this Saturday you have an opportunity to dive deeper into this conversation and come and join me online for the masterclass. Now, you know, I've been doing these free masterclasses since January. Now they are a small investment. They are £10. That small investment to really take you to the next level, because the thing is, I know this as well. People that don't pay attention. That's a statement people make all the time. If something's free and we align to it, we book it. If something else comes up that seems more exciting, well, it's like, it didn't cost me anything, so I don't need to turn up, you know. But when it comes to our health, it will always cost us something. If we don't have the education or understand things properly, it's going to cost us something. I had this whole conversation the other day. I am not knocking the medical profession, but if we actually cling to the statements that I have diabetes, I have high blood pressure, I have, and we then take the medication we've been told we have to take for the rest of our lives, we stop asking questions many times. And so we take something to maintain where we are. If medication was designed to, as a short-term fix, to take us back to where we were before we needed it, so we no longer need it, it would be fantastic, because it'd be a short-term fix that takes us away from the road that doesn't serve us back to the road that does. But when you remember that medication is a mix of some or very few natural products with lots of man-made chemicals, that you have no idea how your internal world will deal with it or try to fight it and recognize it, the long-term impact means certain organs within the body have now overworked and been called upon too much, and they've weakened systems within the body and they create something else. So, for example, they recognize diabetes type 3. Now, Alzheimer's is diabetes type 3. They also call that. So some of the long-term effects of a diabetic medication are major contributory factors to Alzheimer's. They've said these things. These things are there. You know that you take medication, it will have an impact. It's going to have an impact on the kidneys. It's going to have an impact on the liver. That's your major detox pathways. That's going to have an impact on digestion as well. So you've got digestion, the mother system of the body, impacted. Detoxification impacted, which is going to impact then your hormones are going to be thrown out of whack. Those three pathways are going to impact cognition. They're going to impact the central nervous system, which is going to impact brain function. So we're going to have these issues. But the beautiful thing about, and I say the beautiful thing about the menopause, is it's an experience. Hear me out first before you go, what is she talking about? It's an experience that is not always negative for all women, but it's an experience that every female will definitely go through if, by God's grace, she lives long enough to experience the season. I'll say it again. The menopause is a season that every woman will experience if, by God's grace, she lives long enough to experience the season. Again, just like menstruation and even maternity, we go for these seasons if we're around to go through them. But I call them, as I've said before, the three M's. Menstruation, menopause, maternity, and menopause. Every female at least will go through two. Menstruation and menopause, if she lives long enough to experience them. Not every female will experience maternity. And so we're all going to experience at least two of the three M's. But that's literally our reproductive life cycle. And they are three major reproductive life cycle moments in our life. But menopause isn't just a season. It's where the body moves into. It's an indicator of the end of our reproductive life cycle. But when the body gets into that season of life, beyond the menopause, it's really the body's way of saying, look, I've been here with you all the time. And many times, because so many things have taken over, you haven't given me the attention that maybe I've wanted. So now I'm asking you to have a conversation. And I do that through signals, whether they be niggles or pains. It's different things that I'm highlighting, that I may have been highlighting throughout the seasons, that you have overlooked because, let's face it, we know already life takes over. Life be life in, and we're all over the place. I've got this to do, I've got that to do. I mean, this morning, I stayed up and watched the football. I wasn't going to watch it. And I'm one of those people. So sad. I started watching the first half yesterday of the final, and I thought, this is so boring. So I turned over. I rang my friend back. I said, are you watching the football? She said, yeah. She said, well, what are you watching? I said, I'm watching Columbo. So I watched Columbo first and then I turned back. How sad is that? Anyway, literally, right? Our body has conversations and sometimes we ignore it, right? And when we're going through our menopause season, there's a different message. We're not trying to survive menopause. It's not the point of menopause is to signal the end of our reproductive years. It's not to put us into survival mode, right? So we need to ask a different question. And maybe one of the questions we need to ask, as controversial as it may sound, is what if menopause isn't the problem? What if it's not the problem itself? What if the problem is how the body responds when it gets into this season? And how does my body respond when it gets into the season? And how does your body respond when it gets into the season? Because the responses from my body to your body can be totally different. Now, we are going to have some similarities. We are going to have symptoms that are common among many people. But they're common among many people. But they are not common among all people. Which means they're not a natural menopause symptom for everybody. Otherwise, everybody would have the same experience. And so the beautiful thing is I'm promoting this weekend's first paid masterclass. And all I'm asking, one of the things I'm actually focusing on, which is a big draw for many people, but it is definitely the truth, is what if the hot flush is not simply a natural menopause symptom? So I'm just saying, before you switch off, again, I'm saying, don't switch me off, right? Hear me out. I'm not saying that menopause doesn't exist, because we know the menopause signals the end of our reproductive year. So we know it's there. I'm not saying that hormones don't change, because all you need to do is to eat poor foods, have poor digestive health and poor detoxification health, and your hormones will change. Have great digestive health, have great detoxification health, and your hormones will balance. They will change. So what I am asking is, why do some women experience severe symptoms while others barely notice the transition? There are so many women that just say, oh, I didn't feel anything. And you just want to just kick them. It's like, you're so lucky. You know what I mean? Why is it some women experience some severe symptoms? Others just breeze through it like it's no big deal. This has to be a question that we should at least want to explore. And that's going to be one of the questions we're going to explore on Saturday. So you can go onto my Instagram at Pelvic Secrets, and you can go up into the bio. There are two links, the 60-day journey or the Fit and Fabulous After 50. And you can click that link. You can also look on my Instagram. And I met this lady on Saturday in Brixton. I did some modeling on Saturday. Oh my God, I had so much fun. I will share that on Instagram as well. You can see that. It's been on my status for those of you that know me. And it's also going to be shared on my Facebook and my Instagram. I should be sharing those pictures. These are just the iPhone pictures, not the professional ones. I haven't got those yet. But, you know, just the opportunity to be able to say that even at Sassy Sexy 63, we can still look hot to trot. And it's and you know, having a good body, having great skin, having energy, vitality, great cognition, you know, minimizing any experiences of having our own personal summers, those things are achievable for women, but they are linked to behavior, choice and environmental factors, as well as our nutrition and lifestyle. So that's what I'm inviting you to come along to have a listen to. So you can also email me pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. if you want to take the link. But the poster will be up on my Instagram. The link is in the bio, Fit and Fabulous After 50. You can click that link and you can join in. Once you have paid and registered, you will get the replay if you cannot make it. I understand at different time zones, 10:30 in the morning, maybe a bit early. It's like in the States, I think in the Caribbean, it's 5:30. If you're up and you want to join, of course, come along. But it's 90 minutes. It's fantastic. But if we look and understand that our hot flush isn't simply caused or influenced by our estrogen or our progesterone or our DHEA, it's not simply influenced by our sex hormones, but there are other things that will influence it. You are what you eat, when you eat, where you eat. Alcohol coupled with stress, caffeine coupled with stress, chronic stress coupled with alcohol and caffeine, poor sleep, late nights, blood sugar swings, excess body fat, fitness, medications, environmental temperatures. Now, I'm going to explore them in detail because you'll be thinking to yourself, is she serious? All those things can affect me. Well, they may affect you and they may not affect the next person. They may affect the next person worse than you. But we have to know that everybody experiences every sickness and disease differently. Everybody does. How one person experiences multiple sclerosis versus the next is different because it's based on behavior, choice, environmental factors, nutrition and lifestyle factors. It's based on our own individual history. So this is the reason why it's important for us to explore, to ask questions, and to see what we need to change. When we go to the doctor, because there is a place for them, don't get me wrong. But when we go, and when somebody tells you what you have, and you accept without question, and you don't say to yourself, well, is there anything that I could do to change why I find myself in this position? Is there anything I did unintentionally to put myself in this position? What am I willing to change once I get that awareness? You know, what am I willing to change? Because many people, for example, I go back to type 2 diabetes, something that my late mother, God rest her soul, had and took medication for over 20 years before she then moved on to diabetes type 3, Alzheimer's, which I mentioned at Alzheimer's Society meetings and they agreed it is one of the long-term effects of diabetic medication and being on diabetic medication. So I can say that with confidence because I've spoken to healthcare professionals in that space. So one of the things is that people say to me is, I just love my cakes and biscuits, or I've got a really sweet tooth. Well, which of the 32 teeth in your mouth is really sweet? And if you have this really, because I had a seriously sweet tooth. If you have a really sweet tooth that is causing the body problems and stopping it from performing as it should do, what's more important to you to keep? The really sweet tooth and the poor functioning body, or the better functioning body and develop a different tooth instead? UK Health Radio. Let's play a track.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back. So, yes, I was talking about sweet teeth. And I used to love cakes. Not cakes, more like chocolate biscuits. I could eat biscuits all day long. I loved biscuits. I didn't mind some cakes. But I think as we get older, things change. When I started on my Paul Check journey, I made lots of changes. I used to hate avocado. Now I say if avocado was a man, I'd marry it. But I can't, so I use it for its nutritional content. But there are I never used to eat many fruits, but there are so many dishes that are so wonderful. So, so good for us. And literally, if something goes wrong with the car, you try to find out what the root cause of the problem is with the car. If something goes wrong in your house, you try to find out the root cause. If you have a crack in the wall, you're looking for, is it a really big structural crack? Is it a sign of subsidence? What has created that problem? And you fix that problem. You don't just say, okay, there's a crack in the wall and it's getting wider, I'll just fill the gap. You don't just fill the gap. You try to find out what it is and you try to stop it in its tracks because you want to stop it from becoming a bigger problem Because if you have something like subsidence, for instance, you have to move out. You can't live in that house anymore. And they have to underpin the house, and it can devalue the house, and it could affect the mortgage. So you wouldn't leave it. So when it comes to making changes for our body, think about it as protecting the body so that it will last you for the time you're here. Because what you do to the house is you maintain it. You maintain it in a way that you get a return on the investment. You don't allow a hole in the ceiling to stay in the ceiling because you want to fix it so that the rainwater doesn't come in, so it doesn't create another problem. And that's the same for the body. We have to start to recognize signs and symbols and signals, and then start to adjust them accordingly. So, you know, when we look at what we classify as menopause symptoms, we have to ask the question, why are women experiencing many of those symptoms way before the menopause? Why are they experiencing it during their menstrual cycle? Why are women, you know, many women with PCOS normally say that they have struggles with mental clarity and brain fog? Why are they experiencing these things during their menstrual cycle or postnatal? Why are women are struggling with these symptoms, you know, after having babies? Why are they having disturbed sleep and hormonal shifts and emotional overwhelm? So those things happen in maternity as well in menstruation, right? And teenage girls often struggle with fatigue around their menstruation period. So it tells us that these are symptoms that are happening because there are internal shifts within the body. And those internal shifts are hormonal shifts, but those hormonal shifts are as a consequence of usually digestive or detoxification shifts, the systems that run the body. They are shifts because of the excess stress, but the excess stress may be as a result of overstimulation because of emotional programming. So we hear something, we receive it, we internalize it, the body responds internally, emotionally, and then stimulates a hormone. So these are the things that are happening, but we're not aware of those things. We're not aware of them, but we experience them internally, and then they come out as symptoms. And so if these similar symptoms occur in different stages in our lives, then hormones are only a part of the story. And so there's much more for us to look at, to explore, to investigate, and to redress, to reverse engineer, and to rebalance. And then we get where we need to be. And that's literally what happens. You know, it's funny, I went to church yesterday, and our pastor's daughter-in-law was sharing something. And in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about every part of the body, members of the body, and every part of the body being important, right? And it talks about sometimes there's parts of the body that you can't see, but they really are important for the rest of the body, what goes on, you know, externally. But there are parts of the body that we may overlook. So my friend recently fractured his tibia skiing, and he broke it by the ankle and had to have a pin put in the ankle. And it wasn't until he was put into a cast and a boot that he really realized the significance of losing the use of that leg. She shared that she was at the gym, she had a 30k dumbbell, and she dropped it in such a way that it caught her nail on her ring finger, acrylics, split the nail to the skin, down through the center. Very painful it sounds. But that pain and discomfort affected her whole body for like 4 or 5 days. But sometimes you just look at the finger. I broke my second finger next to the ring finger on my left hand riding my bike. I fell off the other year. And I let a friend of mine convince me that because I could bend it at the time, I hadn't broken my finger. I went to go tennis the next day. I mean, literally, it affected my backhand, my serve. And I foolishly waited 2 weeks before I actually went. And she's like, that finger is broken. And so now, of course, a bone is set out of position. And my sister had a ring specifically made for my sassy, sexy 60th for that finger, which it no longer fits. So, you know, at the time you think it's just a finger, should have been put back together into one of those little things they put it to hold it together. It would have kept the bone in place, number one. But it would have allowed it to set properly. But that middle finger affected the way I held the ball, the way I tossed the ball for the serve, and my whole game. And it affected it for like 3 months. So every part of our body is equally as important. That I can't say to the hand, I have no use for you. Everything is important. I have a lovely friend in church who, through stress, relationship stress, and how she handled it. So when I say about behavior and choice, the things she chose to do, which she admits were not the best way to handle it, but it cost her her sight. It cost her her sight. This is the power of prolonged, elevated levels of stress. In some people, like the client I was working with today, it manifests in multiple sclerosis. In other things, my cousin's wife, it manifested in a stroke. In this lady, it manifested in blindness. That is the power of our emotions and our hormones when they are left unchecked and we're not able to recognize the alignment between how the body, our body, not everybody's body is the same, how the body is going to respond when we're in these seasons. This is why the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. I had a bad week last week. I struggled last week with the loss of my mum. And then other emotions on other things came up. And it was quite interesting what came up, what I was crying about and where I found myself. But then I have to remind myself that I have a helper, which is the Holy Spirit. I have God. He's my refuge and my strength. Now, you don't have to be a believer. But I know I have something bigger than myself. I know that my purpose is also bigger than myself. My dream is to actually inspire women to want to have optimal health. And even more so since losing my mum. And not just since losing my mum, since my mum lost her memory. That was the biggest inspiration for me. That was my biggest why. Because all this banging on about it, putting on these masterclasses, having these 60-day journeys, having the four-day rotation and the gut rest and getting the body back to where it needs to be. Don't get me wrong, because I can have my moments with a glass of Prosecco or you know, a chocolate biscuit every now and then. I will have those things. I will say it on air so you don't think, oh my God, she doesn't do anything, you know, crazy. I do. But I do it with full awareness. They are not treats for me. Optimizing my health is treat. Eating junk masquerading as food is not a treat. I didn't say I avoid all of it and I don't want it. But what I do know is it does not come before my health. I'm not having a biscuit because I don't care. If I want to have a biscuit, I will have a biscuit. But I do it with full awareness. But I also know that it's not that I'm having a biscuit, eating junk masquerading as food, not worried about the quality of my food, go to bed when I feel like it, stay angry, don't forgive. I'm not doing all those things. It's a combination. When I do the 60-day journey, when I take you on that 60-day journey, that's your bicycle wheel of health. No one else has that. You've got 15 spokes on that wheel. I go through each spoke one day at a time so you get an idea of how that spoke can impact where you find yourself. You then draw out your own bicycle wheel and you are able to see what spoke is bent, what spoke is straight. It gives you an idea. You don't start with the straight spoke because they work well. You start with the spokes that are either bent or broken. If you ever watch people cycling, indoor cyclists, Tour de France, you'll see some bikes may only have 3 or 4 big spokes. That could be some spokes joined together. But most bikes have plenty of spokes. If any of those spokes are bent or broken, that bike isn't turning. That person isn't riding that bike well. And so these things are really, really important. And when we start to understand, first of all, self-love is missing in our life. Self-care is superficial. It's all outside in. It's all wrong. And our self-awareness is totally misguided. We're not starting from the right place. We ignore signs and signals all the time because a lot of the time that's governed by fear. And then because of those things, that's our self, our hormonal harmony and emotional empowerment is out of whack. We can't enhance our emotions and, you know, harmonize our hormones if we are so reactive all the time. But if we don't understand that reactive part of ourself comes from a lack of self-awareness or a lack of self-care or a lack of self-love. Not everyone, that's right, not everybody is your friend. You have to understand, not everyone that smiles with you is your friend. You know, they say, show me your friends and I'll show you who you become. Connections are really important, especially as we get older. More and more people are disappearing much earlier than they need to. And so our circle, our network is getting smaller. So where do we go to network? Who do we listen to? Who do we hang with? Connections is important. We knew that in lockdown, the importance and the value of touch, oh my God, was phenomenal. But all of these things impact the way in which we breathe. Yes, we're all breathing, but the quality of our breath impacts organ vitality, impacts the way the body responds to injury and repair and surgery and recovery from exercise or movement, how the body ages or anti-ages, how we move toxins, how the body and the extremities get the nutrients they need to heal and to harmonize and to optimize our health. Oxygen is a nutrient. Movements that matter. If the pelvis can't move, you are in so much trouble, especially when you get older. That's your anchor, that's your bridge. That has to move well. You have to understand the movements that matter, and then you understand exercise. Mental, emotional exercise, physical exercise, spiritual exercise. You have to understand exercise is more than just what they put inside a gym and charge you for. You don't need that membership. And then sleep. Sleep, 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 the beauty of sleep. And then we move into food and intimate health. Food. Food is our medicine, but it depends on the food that we have. It's either our medicine or it's our mashup, one of the two. Intimate health is a principle in its own right because it's still a stigma attached to our intimate health. Those that leak when they laugh, it's not about movement and exercise. It's about understanding intimate health so you can pick the right movements that matter and do the right exercise. And then we have spirituality and sunlight because, my goodness gracious me, we have been blessed in this country for the last month and a half, 2 months of some serious sunshine and everybody's moaning and running from it. My gosh, the vitamin D overload we're getting is ridiculous. What it's doing to enhance our mood, our health, our bones, and it's amazing. And then, of course, the thing that ties it all together and becomes the umbrella, it's only because it's the last letter, but thoughts drive everything. But that's where we find ourselves. And that is that bicycle wheel. So I've got some amazing programs and they really will take you where you need to be. But we have to say to ourselves, do you know what? I'm not going to get this for free. And you might think the NHS costs you or costs you nothing, but obviously, you don't notice it coming from your wages. But if you outsource all your health to other people, you put your health in someone else's hands, they will not take responsibility for what happens to you as a consequence because you are ultimately in control of your health. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity,
click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I tell you, sometimes you think 50 minutes is quite a bit of time when you're recording, but then it goes like that, and you're just like, oh my God. So we're into the last 15 minutes, and I want to introduce something new. Still staying in the season, but I want to introduce something new. So I am going to introduce Jenny's Food Spotlight. You can call it Jenny's Seasonal Food Spotlight, but I'm just going to introduce you to my table, yeah? So we're coming into Jenny's kitchen table. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to call it Jenny's kitchen table. Just a short thing each week. I want to just talk about one particular food. And this week, now, I was introduced to a new grain. Well, it's not a new grain. It's an ancient grain. But I was introduced to what's becoming a new grain on the market. Fornio. Foxtrot Oscar November India Oscar. So Fornio. So my friend said, oh, Jenny, you've got to taste this Fornio cake. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's lovely. I tasted the Fornio cake. Yeah, I didn't like it. However, I went back to this shop, Eat to Live, Not to Die, in Brixton. And there was a guy in there with a Salad Master cookware. So you know I have my titanium Salad Master. And he had made Fornio rice. So he got Fornio rice and he had an oyster mushroom stew. And I had that. And that was it. That was it. I was like, this. Now, doing it like that is nice. Now, I will say this. Fornio is an ancient grain, right? It's light and it's nutty. It's rich in iron and zinc and vitamin B1 and B3. It's naturally gluten-free and it's an alternative to rice, quinoa and couscous, right? When you cook it on its own, it cooks in less than 5 minutes. It cooks quick. What I will say is on its own, like if you just taste it, it's a bit chalkish. It's a bit weird. But if I made a black eye pea stew, and I had it with that. Well, I had two platefuls. I had two platefuls of it today. And I had two platefuls on Sunday when I made it. Saturday when I made it. Absolutely stunning. I love it. And I want to introduce you to this grain. Because many of you may have never heard of it. And everyone talks about quinoa or couscous and rice. But this is another ancient grain that is actually making a comeback. And it does deserve a place on your plate. And particularly at this point in our life, it really does deserve a place on the plate when we're looking at nutrition and lifestyle. Now, it is one of the world's oldest cultivated grains and it originated in West Africa. Naturally, as I said, gluten-free, easy to cook, and it's which makes it ideal for busy lifestyle because it cooks that quickly. It's light and fluffy. It works beautifully instead of rice, couscous or quinoa. It's an amazing source of fiber, which is going to support digestive health. My mother... system of the body. I've told you what minerals it has inside it, and obviously dependent on the makes and whatever, the amount will vary. But it's much lower in fat. We're not trying to avoid fats, only bad fats. And it's a useful source of complex carbs, which will provide a steady source of energy. So when we're talking about supporting our well-being in midlife, what we tend to often focus on, as I've mentioned throughout the show, is the hormones. But before hormones comes nourishment. And your body needs the raw materials of in the nourishment to repair, restore, rebuild and refresh. It needs it to repair, recover and function well. So, whether you're in it's summer or it's a busy season of your life, this is nice because it's light, it's not heavy. It pairs well with grains, it pairs well with vegetables, it will pair well with most dishes, beans, lentils, grilled fish, chicken. It doesn't leave you feeling overly full. It's great as part of a balanced meal. It adds variety to what you're doing and it really is a good grain to add when you're looking at something like my 72 hour gut rest on 4 day food rotation protocol. That is also available to purchase. And the link for that will be in my bio on Instagram too. So it's nice. What I teach is, one of the principles I teach is that instead of eating the same foods every single day, we allow the gut to rest, to digest, to assimilate and eliminate. We allow ourselves to be able to recognize what foods may potentially make us more bloated, more gassy, what foods don't. So we know that different plants provide different nutrients and different fibers that help us to nourish the diverse microbiomes that we need to live in our gut. Fornio is just one more way to widen the nutritional palate. And what's really nice about it, as I finish on this quick bit on Jenny's kitchen table, is that, remember, your body doesn't recognize trends, it recognizes nutrients. So while the wellness industry can chase the next superfood, perhaps the real secret is returning to simple whole foods that have nourished communities for generations. So we are in a position where we are understanding the body rather than chasing quick fixes. And we are able to do that even by having something as simple as my 72-hour gut rest protocol and then the 4-day food rotation. Now, I will say this, right? I've done loads of detoxes with my clients, but this was, as I mentioned it before, one of the best ones. The different waters that you include, the foods and the food groups, they are something that are staying. You know, the berry bowl with vegetables when we put it together, I bought all that stuff again today. I never drank so much. I like my coconut water. I normally put it into smoothies straight. Wake up first thing in the morning, scoop out the coconut jelly out of the coconut. What that does for the body, I can't even begin to explain it to you. All I know is that there are many things that we've avoided that we didn't like, but these things will help us in terms of electrolytes, in terms of vitamins and minerals specifically needed to help manage, reverse those hot flushes and everything else. And I will go into detail on that on Saturday, 10:30, online, in the comfort of your own home. This small investment of £10 is all you need to have that. And that's what's going to help you. It's not going to cause you any heartache. It's not going to give you information that you may not have heard before, but it's going to give it to you in a way that may make you go, aha, that's the reason why that's not working, or I didn't realize that. That's what it's going to do. So you can't make your health be your only purpose, though. That's one of the things I want to say. As we come into the last part of the show, I just want us to think about understanding why having something bigger than ourselves is really important. The reason why I say that is because there was a statement said, I think it's by Ron Hubbard. And it says, if you have a big enough goal, you don't need a crisis. And what it means by that is, many times when people are unwell or they find themselves with certain sicknesses, and I've always questioned this, why is it one person succumbs to it and another person manages to get over it? Because the goal, the overarching goal, isn't to just get better. There is something, there is a drive within you. There's a reason why all of us have been given these amazing gifts and talents. And there's a reason why each and every one of us is here. And that reason is bigger than self. But many times we focus on self to the point where we forget that actually, you know, we are part of the ecosystem. We are part of a community. When you go to work for a company, you are part of an ecosystem and a community that's working towards a particular goal. When you go into a company, some people are happy to just go into a company, get a wage and go home because the purpose is to earn the money. Other people want to be a part of the decision making, the drive, the creativity and the ethos of the company. And so therefore, it's not just about getting more money. It may be about planting a seed, recognition, climbing the ladder, you know, being able to share their ideas and being a part of something bigger than just themselves. Ministers do this when they come and they minister to other people. It's not about the money. It's about the impact they may make on someone else's life. My drive, my goal, as I said, is to help women globally optimize their health. I can't think of anything worse, as I've said, than being a mother of six children and a wife and having grandchildren and not remembering any of it. Not remembering my husband, not remembering being married, not remembering giving birth six times, not remembering my grandchildren, not remembering taking my grandson to school, bringing him home, the stories I shared of him, the things, the fears, the joys, the laughter, you know, the nappy changes, all of those things, watching them grow and develop and knowing you had an input in their life. I can't imagine anything worse than forgetting all of that. I would never want to forget my experience in childbirth, in pregnancy, because like I've said, I had the most amazing experience. But I wouldn't want to forget becoming a record holder in the British Ultrafit Championships. I wouldn't want to forget the last time I came second when I actually won the race, but it's against a running clock. And it's the first time in Ultrafit history that the race before mine was 4 seconds faster. Imagine losing a race to someone you don't race against. I mean, like, I could kill everybody that day. It was, but I still remember it because it taught me something. It taught me that it was the first year I ever stopped on any exercise. When you are going, keep going. That's what it taught me, you know. And I got over it in the end. But at first, I just wanted to throw up. I was just like, you have got to be kidding me. How could I lose to someone I didn't race? You know, it was crazy. The things that I've been able to experience and do in my life, you know, I've had some highs and some lows. I don't want to have forgotten any of those things. So, you know, and the fact that when I've taught classes and I've impacted people's lives for the better, when I've been able to teach like how someone to kneel on the Swiss ball through a screen during lockdown, when people have been able to normalize their weight, you know, get their vitality back, get their energy back, reverse the hot flushes, minimize their menopause symptoms. I don't want to forget that women that have had no sexual feeling for years and years and years, they've been able to get that back inside 3 months. Women who were aligned for surgery for prolapse organs or for weakness in the bladder have been able to avoid surgery for prolapse, reverse the grade of the surgery of the prolapse so that it doesn't become a feature, get back to their husbands and their intimacy, get their body confidence back, get back to activity. I don't want to forget the contribution I made for helping that woman understand what she needed to do in order to be in that position. Those who managed to get indoors, run upstairs, get to the toilet, pull down their knickers and get to the toilet without wetting themselves. When I was younger, I didn't get it. I get it now. I'm giving thanks that I don't have those incontinence moments. I don't have to think about my wardrobe choice, proximity to the toilet. What bag am I going to carry? Am I carrying extra protection? But I do know that if I've been out somewhere and I've had a few drinks and then we haven't used the bathroom and you're on your way home and you might be a bit delayed, and when you get towards your house, you know, your body knows when it's at the door. My body does as well. And suddenly you're just like, seriously? But the ability to change my breathing and alter my posture in such a way that I can get inside my house and I can get to the toilet and get upstairs. You know, you have some close calls where you're like, you know what, I'm walking up the stairs. I better stop pulling my knickers down now. You know, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to lift up the toilet lid and I'm going to sit down comfortably and make it to the toilet. We think these things are small things. They're big things to a lot of people. And when they get back to that point there, quality of life starts to return, then you've made a difference to someone's life. That's what that matters. If I make somebody laugh, I've done well. If I save somebody from doing something silly, I've done well. If I can bless somebody with my food or my time or my words or a little penny here and there, I've done well. I don't want to forget those things. I don't want to forget those things. And I love praying for people. I don't want to forget that. If you want prayer, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. But Instagram @pelvicsecrets, TikTok, Jenny Russell on LinkedIn and Facebook. My time has run out. And I hope this show is a blessing to someone. Share it with a friend. Let me know what you want me to talk about. And hopefully on Saturday, I will see you online 10:30. In health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe.